So talking about a lot of the spirituality, the culture, what about now we're going to kind of go back over this way, towards maybe talking a little bit about, your some personal things, if you want to share. S What are some of your major life challenges that you specifically had to go through? Growing up or as an adult, whatever you want to share.
Well, growing up in, like I said, in Bismarck, long hair. Like now everybody has long hair. And that's good. I wish everybody had long hair when I was growing up, 'cause then I wouldn't be singled out, But it was for, I was Indian. We just never. So I was brought up, you ain't cutting your hair. But that way, growing up, like I said, in the city, you do get teased by white. Did get it from natives too, get that apple right on the outside, white on the inside. And that bugged me more than the white people, because the white people, they can go woo, 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 or whatever the heck they want. That never bothered me, because it was like, oh man, you guys have no idea what you're doing. You just look stupid. And I laugh at them, but yeah. And then
Uneducated,
I go start doing it too with them. I'm making fun of you guys, trying to make fun of me, and we don't do that. So who are you making fun of? You're making fun of white people trying to be Indians on TV. So you're making fun of yourself trying to be like us. That's how I looked at it. I never looked at it as, oh man, you're making fun of Indians. I looked at it, you're making fun of your.
Making a fool of
Yeah,
yourself.
you're making fun of your own people that are trying to make fun of us, but they're not, because we don't do that. They never did that.
So the TV is to blame.
And it's, we never, and if people would look at it like that, instead of looking like, oh, they're me. I mean, just because they're dressed up like us, are they really dressed up like us, or did they copy something? Are they playing dress up? Do they know what it's like to, sit in this stuff all day? They have no idea. So it doesn't, that stuff does, just brush it off. I mean, some people have that one encounter that can mess up their whole, mindset on the white people. I had a lot of them, but I just said, I was taught, treat people the way you want to be treated. Hey, I can say sorry and forget about it, move on. And yeah, natives, yeah, I mean, same way. They say something about me. All right, cool. You don't like it, fine. I really don't.
Pretty
It's
easy going.
yeah. It's not my fault. You don't like what I'm doing. They ask me to do it. I do it. If I'm white on the inside, why do I have to go dance my butt off every weekend so I can have my family eat and keep a roof over our head? I dance. I sing. I have my other ceremonial stuff I do. I have to do that. I'm learning, I know about my culture inside and out, and I know how to hang with the white people in their society too. So I didn't really worry about either side, if they needed my help, white, Indian, black, purple, green, turquoise, whatever, I'd help. I wanna learn. So if I'm ever in that community, I'm not sticking out like a sore thumb just because of my looks. I can kind of blend in a little bit. It's just about, being yourself and being able to adapt to what's around you.
And so, yeah, that's, I think that's a really good perspective that we have to offer, non-Native American people. Is because we had to learn, we have to learn how to live in two worlds. Would you say that it's like that?
You have to. If you
You
can't
have to
survive,
shift,
yeah,
kind of.
if you can't live in both worlds, then you're gonna be miserable, a miserable person. And I'd say go find a house in the middle of nowhere and live on your own. But I mean, if you can't switch gears, that's how I like thinking of it, from here, from the white society or to the native, it's gonna be tough.
And when you say switch gears, what is it? Is it, what is it that's got to be switched?
You know, as natives, we joke around and we have a sense of humor that, I mean, is always, you know, I can't take you anywhere. Geez, look at, oh, come on, we're in public. You know, there's white
it's
people.
It's more relaxed.
Yeah, there's white people around. And then when you get there, you know, all right, boys, got to put on a, got to get our goody-goody on so we don't get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. So there's a fear of being judged.
Yeah, it's...
They won't get you.
Yeah, it's not really being judged. It's really about, you know, at first look, what are they going to do? You know, mm-hmm. how your approach. Mm-hmm. You know, if they see your approach, hey, how you doing? You know, what you doing? You know, if you're like them, being inquisitive and you're all open, oh, yeah, hey, you know, oh, cute. You know, sometimes you have to get your real high pitch on or, you know, or it's just. It's,
so even the tone of your voice,
yeah, sometimes,
how you talk.
Yeah, you know, even mm-hmm. even the way you're. Hold yourself, you know, walk. Mm. You know, if it's about, you know, growing up, being yourself in either one of them, you know, if mm-hmm. if they're not going to like you, they're not going to like you. And mm-hmm. that's fine. There's a lot of people out there that don't like me. And, you know, cool. If you don't like me, that's fine. I mean, I still ain't going to, you know, I try not to hate anybody. Mm-hmm. And that word hate is really a mm-hmm. big word. That and that hate can't loser. Those ones I really don't really. I try not to use them in my vocabulary. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I don't want to do it, I'm not gonna do it. It's not. I can't mm-hmm. do it. I'm unable to. You know, mm-hmm. try to just use a different word. Can't is mm-hmm. overused. I think mm-hmm. there's a lot of words that are overused these days that a lot of the reality TV stuff just, you know, and mm-hmm. people saying them, and they have no meaning. I mean, making up new words with no meaning. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do that as natives, just, you know, just to horse around, and, you know, mm-hmm. we know they don't mean it, have no meaning. We just throw them out there every now and then, and they're like, oh, remember when that one came out back? And yeah, see, but we know when and who said it sometimes, and, mm-hmm. you know, someone just throws... It's kind of weird. I guess I kind of grew up a little old school with a little new school, so I'm kind of in between. It's it's crazy because I see stuff and I'm like, oh, man. But they bring back some good stuff, some mm-hmm. not so good stuff. So mm-hmm. it kind of, mm-hmm. the world has a way of bringing things out, you know.
It just keeps evolving, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Life doesn't stop for, yeah. for time, I should say. It doesn't stop for anybody. And so, go ahead.
Yeah, and like the white and the native and, you know, how to fit in with. Because mm-hmm. I lived on the East Coast for a while, so I was around a lot of blacks and a lot of Asians. Mm-hmm. So, you know, medicine, well, you have the four colors. So, I mean, I asked, you know, got to learn, you know, what, you know, different types of black people, you know.
So there, and it's not just black is black,
yeah,
or African American is not. So there's a lot to learn there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's the, you know, where'd you go? Oh, I'm down south, and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm from over, you know, Jamaica. And I mean, there's this, mm-hmm. it's different. It's like Native American, different tribes. Mm-hmm. It's just the same thing with black, just different, you know, different mm-hmm. places where their roots come from. Mm-hmm. You know, what'd you learn? What were you taught? Or your you know, when I was growing up, we were little, we had to do this, you know, we had to take care of this. And I met some, you know, some black people that, you know, they have stuff to take care of too. You know, there was a story I heard a long time ago about the, you know, the whites, the blacks, you know, mm-hmm. the Asian people, or, and that, you know, natives, we take care of Mother Earth. That's what we're supposed to do. And then there was one of them, I can't remember which one of them took care of the water, and one of them took care of the air, and one of them took care of something else. But there's a story, and I can't remember where I heard that story before, but it made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then I keep thinking about it now because of the, you know, the seasons are weird, mm-hmm. you know, the ice caps are melting, water's getting higher, water's not going to be good. And if that story is correct, and I wish I could, I should have, see, this is where the paying attention part comes in. I wish I would have paid attention at that moment in time and remembered the story. Because it made sense, but at the time I was thinking while they were talking, going, oh yeah, and I was thinking about an event, and then I caught a little bit of this one. But yeah,
is it like a prophecy?
Yeah, something like that. But like the natives had Mother Earth, one of them had water, one of them is supposed to take care of the air, and one of them is supposed to take care of something else, and I can't remember that fourth one. But the whites, the blacks, the, you know, Asians, and Native Americans, those four main, you know, the colors of the people. Wow. Yeah. The colors of the people. Those four were supposed to take care of the four things that were handed down to them. And that's what they were supposed to take care of to keep the world in balance. And I can't remember where I heard it or who I heard it from. But it was a good story. Like I said, I wish I would have remembered, wrote it down, or did. I was probably in a part of my time in life where I was out of balance myself, so I didn't remember. But it's a good story, and I cannot remember who told me it.
I think I remember hearing something like that now. Is there somebody that you don't have to throw a name out there, but do you know somebody that might know that story that might be willing to share that story?
I can't remember where I heard it or who told me it. It might have been my dad, and he's gone. But I know he might have been there. Who knows? But it's something I wish I paid attention to now, because I find myself, who's supposed to take care of this? And then I know we have the earth, and right now that's kind of out of whack too.
And a lot of the oil,
minerals, diamonds, gold, pollution, air, who's supposed to take care of that? Water, who's supposed to take? Now I kept thinking, man, I wonder if there's someone like we have medicine, man. I wonder if these cultures had those people. Maybe those monks know something about it way up in the mountains. Are they the ones with the air? I kept trying to think it over. Is that why they're up there? Do they have these, the stuff they pray with that they bring out at certain times?
Interesting.
I kind of, every now and then I'll think about that. It just could just, think, I wonder how it'd be if all those people that had those rites there, that had that, that medicine, if they got together, and what would happen, if they could balance it out start having the people of that, their colors, their nations, or whatever, slowly, if the world will balance back out.
And we really need that today. It just feels scary today.
Yeah, it's...
from weather, climate, to epidemic of drugs and all of these crazy things. So if you find out, let me know. We can make sure to get story I think told. That,
and then I would say that should be somewhere in the education that hey, look, way back when this was this is what happened, this is what your forefathers were given. It should be taught in those
elementary and high school.
It should be saying, look, this is what your culture, your people, the whites, the blacks, Asian, Native American, natives, we pretty much know what we have to take care of, and we do. I see it. We're fighting for, not doing that kind of stuff, and those people on those front lines, I applaud them. That's a lot of work, a lot of suffering, a lot of pain, especially to be right there. And those guys, they went to school for that. They know all the ins and outs, and they need to be applauded for that. And those guys, I was like, sure, you hear people, joke around, hey, I'm gonna do that, but that's that. That's just natives, joking around, no hard feelings, but
yeah,
deep down they know, They're joking because they, like I said, sometimes people joke because they wish, oh man, I could be doing that too. Mm-hmm. And then that's the part where you have to take yourself, put yourself behind and say, hey, mm-hmm. how do I go about doing what you're doing? That's when you get that handshake, sit down, you know, tell me how I can help. I want to get humble. Involved. Yeah.
That's humility is what you're talking yeah. about. Instead of getting so prideful and then that creates jealousy.
Yep.
That is so important. I'm glad you
that's
brought that. That's a very good point.
People have to start doing, you know, hey, you know, tell me about it. How do I get involved? You know, yeah. even if I have to start, you know, at the bottom, you know, I want to get to, you know, up to where I'm like, you know, this is where I'm helping you guys plan how this can work.
Yes.
Without, you know, it erupting, mm-hmm. you know, badly or, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
where the police or, you know, yeah. how, where the government has to listen, mm-hmm. where they're not forced, but by law they have to listen to you now.
Mm-hmm.
And you get enough people to do that, then it's not, then you're actually, you know, you're making them play their game and they're forced to play you now.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, they did everything this way. So mm-hmm. that's when you see them scrambling. Oh, we got to do this, so we don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're working extra hard and you're still waiting for your answer, but they have to answer you now because mm-hmm. you played their game.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to evolve, you know, shifting gears. You have to shift gears. Hey, you know, it can be...
Mm-hmm.
You have to know that line. Which side am I going to play today? Do I have to play this one a little bit more?
Mm-hmm.
And as natives, yeah, we protect, mm-hmm. you know, fight.
Yeah.
That's instilled.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, hey, do I need to step back in my own footsteps? Mm-hmm. I'm not retreating.
Yeah.
But they're not going to see me if I step back into my own footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And disappear for a little bit and then come back through them again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's not retreating, you're just saving your own
mm-hmm.
yourself a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to come back stronger. So it's that's the road sometimes we have to take
mm-hmm.
to get what we want or get accomplished, I should mm-hmm. say.
So it sounds like you're talking about discernment. The wisdom to discern that timing of being involved, you know, how to be involved, you know, the way you get involved. I mean, there's so much to it, right?
Yeah, like, and then you have to also, if that's what you're going to do, then you're going to have to do your homework on that group you want to be with, you know.
Mm.
Are they doing it the right way? Are they doing it the wrong way?
Mm.
Or are they just being kamikaze about it and saying, let's do it?
Mm.
So, I mean, it's you have to pick and choose. But there's also a lot of, you know, stepping back and looking at the big picture before you go. I mean, the asking how I can help, but then you have to, after you do that and you get a little bit of insight, then you got to look at the big picture mm-hmm. for a little bit and then still say, okay, I do want to help. Now they look like they're doing everything how I want, what I want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still, you know, it's a step forward, you know, step back maybe to then go a little more. But you always have to, you know, give yourself and let them know, well, if I don't like what's going on, then I'm just going to step away if I have to. But you're letting them know. But right now, you're what I want to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, do you, I guess, kind of got a loss there. So I guess what would you, I'm just looking at some of the questions here. We just kind of went through a lot. So getting back to those challenges where we left off, but talking more about how you overcame those challenges. I guess more about being Native American, you know, living in two worlds. How do you get through that, you know, where that resiliency part?
I showed them.
You showed them.
I danced at schools with other natives in town.
Education.
Yeah, I showed them what I was about. You know, I wasn't just wearing street clothes and long hair and you know, I was, this is what I did, you know. I was a professional at doing this type of dance in my culture. You know, this is what I was brought up doing, dancing, singing. It was instilled in us, you know. And then I showed them I could play ball and run and do other stuff too. My brother's a wrestler, and but we still all, we still did our native stuff too. I mean.
So you showed them both?
Yeah, both sides.
You can just be just as good in basketball, in all their kind of things, too.
Yeah, on their aspect. I mean, singing, I could sing native, and I was in the Bismarck All-Boy Choir. So, you know, I could sing native, and then I could sing white, or whatever you want to call it. It was like playing both sides, you know. I can do this my way, and I can do it your way, too. And it wasn't just about, you know, living. I was living my life. And, you know, that's how, that's what it's come to these days, you know. Can you do this on as native, and can you do this? Instead of just living. I was just living. I didn't, you know, growing up, I just thought, you know, this is how it is. You know, if some white people didn't like me, you know, fine. I don't know who you are either, so. You know, I got called some stuff playing basketball, but I didn't let it bother me to, you know, or
where you got angry and
I mean, I knew it was out there already. I mean, they said you might get this, you might get that, you know, be careful, you could get this. And they showed, they is my uncles and my dad, and you know, friends of the family that played. They showed me the dirty stuff, how not to get caught, you know, watch your back, always be careful. You know your personnel, who you keep around you. And
support system.
Yeah, so so even if I went, you know, went, I stayed with the white families if I went basketball tournament, you know. Basketball tournaments, because sometimes my mom and dad couldn't make it, you know, they had some other stuff they had to do. And, you know, I look around, see all the white kids that their, you know, their parents is. It didn't bother me, you know. I was like, well, they're cheering. This is a team. They're cheering for the team.
Yeah.
And sometimes we go some places where, you know, maybe a couple fans. And I used to just use the other team's cheers. And they'll say, all right, that's for us, boys. Let's go get them. And they'd look at me. You're crazy. But it got their mind off of it. No one... No one's here for us, you know, just us.
So always being optimistic.
Yeah.
Using something.
Use something negative for a positive.
That's huge.
I mean, if they're going to be cheering, you know, hey, you hear that? You know, if they score and we had a bad defensive play, hey, you know, come on. They're cheering for us. Let's go. Let's go give them two, three. Let's go, guys. Let's go. Just always, you know. Someone messed up, it's all right. Go stop them on the next one. Go do something else.
That sounds like that has been your coping skill of how to get through. That's how you combated racism or, you know, some of the...
Yeah, I did what I had to do to survive. I mean, it's survival of the fittest.
You can go, go negative or you can go positive.
Sure, I wanted... I got a bad temper and I... My parents kept it in check. And you know what? I thank them for that. I probably would have did a lot of stupid stuff if I never... I mean, they taught, you know, pray, forgiveness, all that. So, in reality, they made me be able to do this, you know, live on both sides and forgive, forget, move on. Pray for your enemies, too. And sometimes, you know, sometimes in here, and then someone will say, hey, man, let's go do this. Right there. All right, let's go. Go try to take your mind off it and not dwell on it. And then, you know, you never know. While you're there, someone could bring something up that just totally you remember. You're like, oh, it's happy time. And that's already gone now. You know, tomorrow's a new day. But I did things, I don't know, people call them weird or whatever, but... I just made sure I was happy. And I just like to live happy.
So that's kind of your ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. Is what kept you above water.
Yeah, it kept me fluent, because there's times I could have, mm-hmm. I could have went deep in. Mm-hmm. And after high school and stuff, I did have some traumatic stuff, and I didn't know how to deal. Mm-hmm. I jumped in a bottle and stayed mm-hmm. there for a while. Mm-hmm. Went through the bottom of that. I mean.
And that started at what age?
About when my dad passed away. About 21, 20. I really don't. I try to forget about it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I remember, but at the same time, forget and remember and forget. And, you know, I did therapy on it. Mm-hmm. I went to treatment a couple times. I did. And I was still thinking positive, but mm-hmm. I had to forgive at some point mm-hmm. of what happened to my father. And mm-hmm. I did forgive, but now I have to forgive myself for all those years gone. They're no more wasted, but mm-hmm. they're just gone. I mean, mm-hmm. I took drinking to a level that I didn't think I could. If I was going to be good at it, I was going to be very good at it. Mm. And mm-hmm. I was a functioning alcoholic. I worked. Mm-hmm. Made sure I did that. It was scary, though. Mm-hmm. After I look back, I mean, what I can remember, I pretty much, like, talking right now is bringing up more and more things in my youth mm-hmm. that just are popping in my head right now that are going, oh yeah, I remember that, I remember. Mm-hmm. And I really, when I moved out to the East Coast, I really never talked to anybody mm-hmm. except for when, you know, my counselor or whatever. Mm-hmm. I kept to myself. I still keep to myself. I rarely let people in, but mm-hmm. me getting asked to do this type of stuff is opening my mind back up to where, you know, my happy times mm-hmm. and good times with my family, because mm-hmm. rarely I see all the negative first now. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, if that was me, man, I know what I'd do right now. I'd go get mm-hmm. this and get this and then go mm-hmm. start and party, and that'd be over in like a couple weeks, because I know how long I can make this last.
Mm-hmm. The stinking thinking yeah. is what they call that in treatment.
Yeah, yeah, the stinking, but I just call it, I know how to kill a good time. Uh-huh. And right now I'm in a good place in my life, and I know how to end that very quickly. I can do it after I'm done with this. I can go do it if I choose to.
Right.
And I know I'll have nothing planned, but with today's social media and all this stuff, mm-hmm. I can get something planned by one sentence, and it'd be on, mm-hmm. especially on a Thursday. WDA is going on right now. A lot of people in town is, mm-hmm. see, it's just, that's the easy part to get into. Mm. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I have my youngest boy with me, and I have to take care of that, mm-hmm. take care of him, make sure he's all good. Like, he has karate later. Mm-hmm. So I still do think about, you know, like, if I hear an argument or something, I'll be like, oh, I know what I'll do. But I won't say it. It'll be all in my head. Mm-hmm. I'll be going, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I still do that, too. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really doing is judging myself mm-hmm. of if I was in their shoes. You know, maybe I'm preparing myself just in case it happens. You know, running the scenario of someone else's argument in my head, going, you know, mm-hmm. what if that happened to me? How would I handle it? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I do things different. I do things, I guess, weird. But that's how I deal with things sometimes. Mm-hmm. Now I'll think it over and over and over and over and over and over and over mm-hmm. and find the best way before I'll think. Because I don't make plans anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because if I make plans and it doesn't work out, then I'm frustrated. Mm-hmm. And I don't like being frustrated. Mm. I'll sit there and it'll just be going. I mean, I'll be doing something else when mm-hmm. I made plans to do this. So I try not to make plans only for my son, because then I have to do that. You know, he's priority. You know, he's coming first. He wants to start dancing now. I ain't pushing it at him. But he knows, well, we'll work, we'll practice, just like in this, we'll practice. Okay, but those things, I said, oh, that can fix those. So we're just making sure, you know, hold your arms up. So I'm slowly teaching him, but he's advancing faster than I thought. So I'm like, all right, now I got to keep up. So it's a lot. And
it's a commitment.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I want to not teach him to be like me. I want him to be better than me. I'm going to give him a little bit of what I can, and I want him to evolve it. It's all about the evolution of things, but at the same time, have the grounded part about it. The part where that says, you know, if you're good at something, be good. But at the same time, you know, be humble with it. Teach it, you know. Have that, be that type of person that can say, hand it out for, you know, hand it out for free. Help give that gift to someone else. Don't say, well, you know, everyone has bills. I mean, if they're going to offer you, hey, I can give you this, then, you know, say, okay, I'm fine with that. And then go from there. But if you're going to get paid for something, do it 150% better than, don't do pardon my French, but half-ass work. You know, give it your all. Like, if you're going to teach someone, teach them like it was your own. Like you're teaching your own child or your own brother, your own sister, if they're the same age as, you know.
So you're speaking about, that's generosity.
Yeah, everything.
When you give generously.
Yeah, but don't just do it.
Don't worry about the price all the time so much. You just,
I mean,
it's more heartfelt.
It's the gift you're given, so, you know, give it back. You know, if you do get help, you know. Like, it's just about being a good person overall.
You know, that when I think about being a good person, you know, I can speak to, you know, some things that I felt, you know, when I used alcohol in my addiction and the progressive stage that it was in, that it got to. And outside looking in, a person would judge me by the usage and the behavior, and it, you know, and it's not pretty. But that whole time in the inside, what no one can see, might be a really good person.
Yeah.
And I think that's how Native American people are. Very good people who lose themselves in alcohol or drugs. That they're not bad people. You know, the crime isn't malicious. You know, there's nothing being done that's malicious. It's very rare, not to say that there is not known the Americans that, but I guess that's what I, when you say being a good person, because I can relate to that, because the whole time I always felt that I was a good person. And I see that with Native American, you know, you don't have to be afraid of them. You know, they're good naturally, by nature, they're good people. And that's across from tribe to tribe. You know, we don't have to be afraid of one another, and you just kind of know that, you know. But at the same time, you know, they might get a DUI, or they might, you know, go through some of the consequences of making bad choices.
Yeah. And like I said, that just goes on when they're younger. You know, how did you deal with your first, you know, really bad mishap with anything? Or how did people around you deal with it? What did you see?
Coping skills, then.
Is it learned coping behavior? Or is it, you know, does it go back to your DNA? You know, is it in there?
Mm-hmm.
Your genome?
Mm-hmm.
It could be. It's still research out on that yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I think. Because my coping was, you know, don't cry or whatever. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, then again, you know, my dad was the only boy. He had four sisters. So it was my mom, my grandma, my great-grandma, four aunties, and mm-hmm. my dad was the only. And my grandpa Saunders sometimes. You know, he was alcoholic too, so he was in and out of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot from... That's why I can argue good. I was around women all the time, so I can give back. I know how to state my point. It's how were you around? What were people? You know, I had that motherly protection all the time. You know,
mm-hmm.
no matter where I was, it was there. Mm-hmm. From my aunts, my grandma.